Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Make this holiday season with the family an interactive one at the Tech Interactive in the heart of downtown San Jose, next to Christmas in the Park. Spend hours exploring fun exhibits together. Build and program your own robot. Design and ride a roller coaster. Engineer and test your own launching device and more. Immerse yourself in exciting new worlds in the largest IMAX dome screen in the West. Get tickets now at thetech.org. That's thetech.org. The Tech Interactive, where science meets fun for everyone.
Jumpstart your savings with Commonwealth Central Credit Union. We'll even help you get started by giving you $200 when you open our high-yield GTKY savings account. Whether you want to build emergency savings, save for a big purchase, or put money aside for a special event, we're here to help you reach your financial goals. Jumpstart your savings with $200 from Commonwealth. Visit wealthcu.org and enter promo code JUMPSTART. Federally insured by NCUA. Certain restrictions apply. Visit website for complete details.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
You didn't get bored by baseball. Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
This is Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is
baseball. Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, baseball is not boring. Once again, one of the people who makes it so is Rich Hill, a frequent visitor, players only. Players only day. Anytime Rich is on, it's players only day, whether there's another player on or not. Last time it was Plawecki. Now it's just Rich. Yeah. But Rich, you're a player. I am not, so it's players only. So there you go. So,
yeah. Well, thanks for having me on again. And I know I've last week was absent. We were in Maine. For the Turkey Day, which I managed to screw that up pretty well, because I had to. I was like, nope, I got this. I'm going to deep fry the turkey. It was a nice 12.5-pound turkey. Had to put it back in the deep fryer. How many times do you think I had to put it back in?
How many?
Three. Thing came out like a bowling ball when I was done. It was unbelievable. It's like the Grizzlies. Everybody was very kind.
Huh? Was it edible?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was great at the end of it, but it was just like, okay, this is what, you know, you go on YouTube or whatever. Okay, I'll follow the directions. I'll do exactly what it says. I heated the oil to whatever it was, 375 or 390, whatever it was. Put it in there, you know, 3 minutes a pound. It comes out, go upstairs, looks beautiful, cut into it. WTF, it's like raw, you know what I mean? And then so I'm like, all right, back to the deep fryer, put it in another, you know, whatever, 5-6 minutes, pull it out. Yeah, we're not there yet. So it turned out, look, at the end of it, it was fine. It turned out great. And it was good, but but we were in Maine, went up there to go, our son was snowboarding and my nephew, snowboarded and my brother skied, my wife skied. So, I did not do, either,
no.
I just enjoyed the views and the mountain and the lodge. So it was all good, good vacation, but yeah, I missed last week. I was absentee.
It's all right. You know what? It paid off in a great deep frying turkey story. So
deep fried bowling ball.
That's exactly. Did you? The last question I have about that is: do you use like the long stick to like dip it in? So if it does go up in flames, that you're sort of protected from it.
Yeah, so I have a it's an electric deep fryer. Maybe that was my that maybe that's the issue, because it was an electric deep fryer. It's one of these, like, non, you're pretty safe if
Oh, okay.
it's pretty tough to screw it up. But yeah, I wasn't dropping it from the roof, putting it in the pot with a, let's see if we can get this half thawed out turkey in there and see how much oil we can get to explode.
Well, I mean, that's good, because there's never, as we've said, we've had various players end their careers or have their careers derailed because of freak accidents. I do not. You have great things ahead of for you. So I do not want you to say to have the news come across the wire on this slow hot stove season up until the winter meetings. Rich Hill, free agent pitcher Rich Hill, will not be available, not because of an arm injury, but because of a deep fried turkey incident. So.
I would have been, myself and Jay Leno, trying to figure out what we're doing in our garages.
That's what it's all about, figuring out what you're doing in garages, throwing a baseball and deep frying turkeys. All right, well, so I want to we have the winter meetings coming up, and there's so much I always enjoy talking with you, obviously, about everything when it comes to baseball. But a big part of it is that you have perspectives and experiences that I don't. And one of those experiences is actually being signed at the winter meetings, or agreeing to terms and then having a press conference at the winter meetings. So, Rich, what I want to do is something that, honestly, even a lot of free agents guys who have signed during the winter meetings don't have the experience of the anatomy of a press conference at a winter meeting. This used to happen all the time, but a lot more. I remember going, this is going back a ways. When the Blue Jays signed AJ Burnett, I remember that press conference. Remember when he signed?
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to think. Well, Eovaldi was your year that you signed. 2009, was it?
Right.
No, that was the year after.
No, he because I was 17. He was must have been 18
But I
or
remember
18,
he
right?
comes in his suit and does this whole thing and everything else. And everyone standing around, to give you an idea from the media perspective of the winter meetings, everyone is standing around this lobby talking to whatever agents they see. And it's just like you're checking your phone and you're standing around the lobby and you're waiting for something to happen. And when a press conference does happen, which another one I'm going to mention, I remember Jared Saltalamacchia with the Marlins. He came
That's right.
and when a press conference is going to happen, it's like, oh, thank you. Thank you. We get to go to a press conference, right? So take me through going back to the year. What that year was 2017.
17, correct.
2017. So you're coming off the year with the Oakland A's. You have a really good year on that 1 year contract. Now you reestablish yourself. You're going to free agency. You're going to get a good deal. Take me what you remember about lead, first of all, before we get to the actual going to the winter meetings, what you remember about leading up to the winter meetings, what you remember about that feeling.
Well, I mean, there were, fortunately, there were a lot of competitive offers on the table, and the Dodgers being able to separate themselves from the field and having that opportunity to, in the first time in our baseball journey to sign a multiple year deal was huge. I mean, it's something that at 37, as we just saw with Jose Abreu a couple days ago, signed for 3 years at 36, going to be 37. I think it's a great thing for the game because you're starting to see older players who are contributing, and not only contributing, but contributing in a major way that are going to be respected throughout the league at a certain age for other players that are going to come, because everybody's eventually going to get older, right? It's not like you're going to be a 30-year-old free agent forever. So leading up to that point, obviously knowing that the 2016 season was really a great season from a performance standpoint, but also, the back end of that season was to be able to perform in the postseason. And I think a lot of times that what bigger clubs and you know, a lot of clubs for the most part are looking for are, you know, you get that experience in the postseason, and then you're bringing that experience into the locker room to pass on the knowledge to the other players who haven't had that opportunity to perform, you know, under that stage. So the benefit of that, you know, becomes more appealing to multiple organizations because you have that knowledge of what you went through or what you experienced to pass on to other players. And, you know, that's extremely valuable, you know, in a clubhouse. So leading up to that point, that was something that we had been, you know, getting traded from Oakland to LA, and understanding, you know, the kind of, you know, the odds and I think what is at stake every single time you get the opportunity to go out there and play are great. So if you take it as that, as a player from the player's perspective, you know, there isn't any market that's going to be too big to play in. If you understand, you know, hey, whether you're in Oakland or you're in New York with the Mets or the Yankees, or, you know, LA, Chicago with the Cubs or the White Sox and Boston, you know, the biggest markets, if you're in Pittsburgh or you're in Kansas City, it's no different. And we've mentioned this before, and this is, you know, the mindset of a competitor, where it's, you know, if you're on the backfield of a spring training facility, you're going to pitch the same way as you would, or compete the same way as you would in a World Series game. So it makes it, the transitional aspect of competing is seamless. And I think that's one thing that was very fortunate in that 2016 year to be able to experience, is going to the postseason and deep into the postseason. That was the year the Cubs finally broke the curse and won the World Series. They beat us in the NLCS to move on to the World Series. But having that experience, I think coming back to LA, they knew that, okay, this is a guy that performed in that, you know, that stage, in the biggest stage, and we would like to, you know, have that back and bring that experience into the clubhouse. So, but leading up to that, was exciting. And I think that one thing that, just like a fan, in the same experience, is buying a ticket for the emotion, you're also looking for that emotion in a press conference from the player, from, you know, the media side. They want to see that emotion. And this isn't something that's, you know, cooked up, or because you can see it when it's real or when it's false, correct? I mean, you guys can see the genuineness, or you can see the, you know, this is BS, is this kind of like, you know, doing this or floating through or saying the right things just to say it, as opposed to somebody who truly, you know, appreciates and has a genuine gratitude of what this means. And that's really was the situation for myself in that winter meeting with my wife Caitlin and our son Bryce being there. I think it was, you know, something extremely special for all of us. And you know, it's something that I'll never forget, and they'll never forget. You know, the only thing that I can compare it to is giving an interview in the World Series. You know, and to be honest with you, even the scale of that wasn't as big in the scale of it and the size of how many media members were there as it was in a free agent signing at the winter meetings.
Well, let me take you back, like you said, to you prove yourself, and you know, and there was like a flurry of proving yourself for the last few the years leading up to that, culminating and punctuating with, like you said, in terms of doing it on the big stage. Now you hit the open market. Now you're going into free agency. Now is your chance at the age of 37, after all the years, to get your deal. And you know, the winter meetings is sitting there. Like, you're not saying, I don't think that Sam and Seth Levinson are saying, hey, you know what? We're gonna time it out where we're gonna get you a deal, and then you're gonna have a press conference at the winter meetings. But you go through that offseason. Was it when you start hearing the offers, when you start hearing the interest, what was that like, and how many were you surprised by it? Were you excited by it? Were you like, what is the feeling of it being in that spot for the first time of actually having these teams not to say, oh yeah, you know, we'll give you a 1 year deal for whatever.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, obviously mentioning Sam and Seth and Keith and Peter and the whole Aces team that, you know, had been able to orchestrate this deal and listen to multiple offers across the entire platform of Major League Baseball and all of the teams that were able to, you know, kind of throw their hat in the ring, so to speak, was huge. And I think that's, it speaks from their experience and understanding how to create a market and also how to create, you know, competition in that market. And that's something that, you know, speaks volumes to what experience really means in this business and in any business. It doesn't just have to be baseball. It could be any, anything that we do. The experience is very, very valuable. So, and you know, that's something that, with that and with the team that, you know, Seth and Sam and the whole group have is so valuable to the player, benefited, you know, myself and understanding that the performance was there as well. So when you have the performance and you can have, you're going to have teams that are going to be, you know, excited. They're going to be involved. They're going to want to go to, you know, a certain amount of years and a certain amount of value on that contract. And you're also going to have a lot of teams that aren't going to want to do it. So they're going to be out. So you're creating a market, little by little. And as it comes down to two or three teams or four teams, you know, now you have to make a decision as a player to find out where you really want to go. And in doing that, we felt most comfortable going back to LA because we were there, but also from, you know, my perspective as a competitor, seeing what they were putting together and Andrew Friedman and the rest of the front office were putting together in LA was a winning championship club. You know, and that's something that it, as a competitor, you want every single day is to go out there and have an opportunity to, you know, win that game on that day. And then also put yourself in a great position to win the division and then get an opportunity to go into the playoffs to win the World Series. But as a, you know, the point from having the, you know, the offers come in and saying, wow, this is, you know, it's exciting. It's definitely exciting because you're looking at contracts that are, you know, from a financial standpoint can be life changing. And, but understanding that the work has been put in and you really realize that this entire time, it's never been about the money. It's always been about the, you know, the joy and the passion for the game. Because if you're doing it in anything, this is what I really believe is for the financial aspect of it, you're not going to, you know, push through the downtimes and the injuries and the, you know, the failures to be as successful as possible. And that's one thing that I realized as we got to this point in free agency for really the first time, you know, not being non-tendered or not just being like ripped out of the seat and thrown to the curb, which, you know, happened every year up until that point, really. So it was always a continuous battle of understanding, you know, here's another, you know, non-tender or, you know, we'll talk to you later in the off season and we'll see if there's room for you or whatever the scenario might've been. It just, you know, being more of a, you know, important piece for teams to see as a free agent pitcher was something that you know from my standpoint is that okay, the work, the time, and the effort you put in ends up paying off, and at the end of the day it's not about the value or the money. Now that's a byproduct of all that, but it just reinforces, you know, you know, why you should do all those things in the first place if you're doing what you truly love to do.
What do you remember about, I can't remember what day of the winter meetings. So typically the winter meetings, you go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everyone leaves on Thursday.
Yeah.
What day do you remember agreeing? I don't know if you remember this, but what day you remember sort of agreeing to it? Okay, we're going to fly out to where was it at that time?
I think it was Washington. Yeah, it was in Washington.
Oh, Washington. I do remember.
Yeah.
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 So you're going to fly out to Washington. We're going to have this. What do you remember about sort of that week? Hey, you know what? We want to make a decision now. This is the best offer. This is the best place. All of that, was that a few days before the press conference, or was it just a flurry of 24 hours?
It was actually like the week before. It was like a Wednesday or a Thursday that we agreed. Knowing that the next, so there would be probably around this time, and the next week was the winter meetings, and they wanted to announce it the week prior, or I'm sorry, the week after. I think it leaked and it got out, and then it was in the news or whatever. Still, it didn't really deter away from. It wasn't really.
Couldn't have been that far away from when the press conference was. I mean, you know, the news probably held without being leaked for a little bit. You agreed Wednesday or Thursday, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. That it held that long, to be honest with you.
I think it held until probably, Friday, and then it came out, or the Thursday, excuse me. And then I remember just going out, actually, so working out on a Monday and then finding out, because I hadn't told anybody, but going into the gym, and then a couple of the guys that working out with were like, hey, congratulations. And I was like, oh, man, because social media, or Twitter, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, is not very high, so my IQ is low on all that.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't know it was out there. In the whatever social media world. So I, okay. So then we left on a Tuesday morning, I believe, to get there, and then did some. Obviously media stuff with like MLB Network, and then had the press conference in the afternoon. And then stayed that night and went home the next morning. But, it was interesting. I think the whole process of it, the understanding of how, and I also think that from, Ace's standpoint with Seth and Sam and Keith and Peter, they understand what that moment means to a player in their career. To be quite honest with you, it might be kind of a, just a example of, something that is what would you call it? Just
like a formality. Like this,
exactly. It's a formality, but it's also
meaningful.
Meaningful, it is, because you have time to reflect. You have time to be there with your family and understand. Wow, this is a culmination to a certain point, but also knowing that there's a ton of work to be done. But you understand that the work needs to be done because of what you've been doing to get to this point. So by putting in the work before, and then this is something that will have to obviously continue. It doesn't, there's no variation or change just because something else was inserted in there. You can take that away, and what stays the same is the day-to-day process. And that's something that, whatever it might be, that's why the financial side of it shouldn't have anything to do with the passion and the love and the joy of what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that you're still going is an example of that. And before I get to the dynamic of actually flying to Washington and showing up, what do you remember about actually pulling the trigger on the decision? Because like you had already said about all the merits of the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
You know what they're building. They're going to win. Like it's a 3-year deal. I don't know if there was another team that came in there with a 3-year deal. Like, how do you get to the point where you're like, okay? And I know that the Aces guys, they're doing everything they can to maximize the deal, which is what their job is. But what do you remember about? Was there a decision between teams? We're going to make our decision by this point. What do you remember about actually making the decision?
Yeah, I mean, there was, the separator was the final year on the contract. Everybody else was really at 2 years, and LA had gone to 3. So, that was kind of made it pretty cut and dry. And obviously, like I said before, they were building something and putting the team. And I don't know how to explain it, but like once you get that taste of going to the postseason, and then you go into the next level of the postseason, and then, you know, that's why we play. I don't know how else to put it, you know, until you experience it. And I experienced the postseason when I was younger, but I did not understand what the mindset behind that was when you get into that situation and when that, you know, stage is at its biggest mentally. So not understanding that when you were younger, and also experiencing it when you are younger, because you get there very quickly, is something that, you know, can become fuzzy, you know, and then all hell breaks loose. You go through ups and downs, you get injuries, and a ton of crap is, you know, inserted into your career, and you have to continue to keep battling. And then getting an opportunity, but with all this experience that you have to gain, when you get back to that stage, it's like, wow, that's somebody, you know, now that, you know, you don't want to, you know, basically whatever, mess with that person, because that's somebody who, you know, I read something funny the other day. That's somebody who buys their pants at Costco because they just don't give a shit anymore. So that, you know, that's something that's, you know, that's somebody who's mentally strong and has the ability to understand what it is to play at that level. And what I mean by that level, I mean when the lights are the brightest. Anyway, going back there and having the opportunity for a team that is going to consistently year in and year out get the opportunity to play in the postseason is what you want as a player. And I've heard over, you know, here and there, there's a debate with like what Derek Jeter's comments have been made about, like, you know, it's a failed season if you don't win the World Series. I don't know. I like it, you know, and I've never won a World Series. I got 2 second-place rings, but you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to win one. And I mean, I can, but, you know, to experience it is another level of, you know, euphoria. So I think that's something that, again, you get that taste of playing at the highest level. And that is something, you know, you want to continuously go out there and compete for. But it also gives you the idea that your effort.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
For it, and your intensity and your aggressiveness during the regular season doesn't change just because it's a regular season game. And we've talked about this before, you know, game 78 should be the same as, mm-hmm. you know, game 1 in the postseason or game 1 in the World Series or game 7. So as long as that stays consistent, your effort and your attitude and you know, your intensity, it's going to make it you know, it's just something that you don't, the anxiety or the fear of failure or fear of success goes out the window when you get on that biggest stage. And that's something that's, it's real. Like, I don't care what anybody says, because it's very real. But the more you can train yourself and the more you put yourself in that situation, then, you know, it becomes, I don't want to say it's easier to perform at that level, but it's something that you can understand the outcome of dealing with it, even though you're not outcome oriented. You really get right into the moment.
See, I got your heart rate pumping. You're gonna go throw. Speaking of, you're either gonna go to your garage and deep fry a turkey or throw a ball against the wall. I don't know, but
maybe I'll throw the turkey against the wall like a weighted ball.
I like that. It's like kind of like the next level of a, like, Rocky hitting the thing of ribs.
Yeah, like a medicine ball.
Exactly. That's great. Can you do that? And we'll send over a film crew. It's like the new age Rocky. So was it now? Since it's been a while. It's been that would have been 6 years or whatever. Was there a team? And you said the Dodgers willing to go 3 years. Was there a team that you said, oh, that would be interesting, that were sort of interested in you, that checked off the boxes that you're talking about?
Yeah, I think at a time like where Toronto was going and seeing that the obviously it was at a younger age, you know, with guys that were kind of coming, and also Houston was another team that, you know, was in the same.
By the
boat,
way,
I believe
two good picks. Like they would have been good.
Yeah,
they would have been good.
Oh,
picks.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think if you look back and where we are, fast forward to, you know, if you want to say last year or the previous season, I mean, those are two teams. Obviously, Houston just recently winning the World Series, and when you look at Toronto, I mean, they're right there on the threshold of doing something special within the next 2 years. Because you got to think, you know, you're in this 2 year window because these guys are going to end up being free agents. So, you know, how are we going to be able to keep all these guys? It's kind of like where a little bit where Houston's going right now, where they're at, but you know, they're obviously making the moves to be competitive in the West again. And not only competitive, but they're putting themselves in a position to win the division.
All right. So I want to ask you sort of about the dynamic about, you know, when you land at the winter meetings, not that they like your plane is or a helicopter is landing at the winter meetings, but you get the point. Although there is, I think there is a Ferris wheel around there somewhere. It's a whole big thing of that part of, I forget what it's called, part of Washington where it was. But you had heard about the winter meetings. I would imagine you had never been to the winter meetings, correct?
No, correct. I'd never been there, no.
Right. So when you get there, was it, and I know that you're sort of like being ushered around and everything, but it was it what you thought it would be? I mean, I'm talking about the press conference. We'll get to the press conference in a second, but just the whole scene.
Yeah, I guess, you know, from the standpoint is that you show up, obviously you get in your room, you check in and whatever, like a normal hotel. But when you go in there, you know, the carousel of MLB Network, you know, all the different outlets are there, whatever, Fox or whoever it might be that's trying to cover the winter meetings and give reports of what is going on, and everybody's trying to get information or what the next signing might be, or kind of like you said, it's a hot stove, right? So anything could be cooking and then done at any moment, whether it be 7 in the morning or 2 in the morning. So, you know, you're going all day and all night. And I thought it was very interesting how waking up the next day was kind of dead early from that 7 to 10. And then once 10:30 kind of came around, I mean, I tried to take in as much as I could, but seeing a lot of familiar faces and you know, front office people who are there trying to make deals or interview potential front office members that they're trying to, you know, fill in jobs, and also the other side of it from the trade show, you know, not understanding how that worked. And that was very interesting, just for the people who are listening and just understanding that. You know,
oh, it's crazy.
Everybody's coming. Yeah. Coming,
you know,
in
what,
with,
Rich,
with every device.
So I went to the winter meetings at the job fair, and a lot of minor leaguers like hire there, the teams hire there. I went there twice when I was in college. So it was a whole scene. And you go to the trade show and it's so bizarre. I mean, there's so many things in terms of this baseball centric. And here's I'm not going to say you might not be even old enough to remember this dynamic. Signing the first winter meetings I went to the trade show, and someone there was signing autographs. It was Morgana, the Kissing Bandit.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so as a Christmas present for my dad, I got Morgana to sign a picture for him. So there you go.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, right. I grab the San Diego chicken and you gotta, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
but I mean, there's just a whole number of things, and everybody's kind of waiting for the next I don't know, shoot a drop or
but
I think that's the one. Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that's the whole thing with like the announcement and having a press conference and how valuable it is, because I think it creates buzz around the game, and you know, people at home can tap into something that is again, you buy the ticket for the emotion. Now, how are you going to get the emotion over the winter is having guys come in almost like the NBA draft or whatever is happening. Now that you see it with Major League Baseball draft, as kids are going to a neutral site or wherever it is, they're announcing they come up, and you get that raw emotion. But I think it's something that, let's face it, it's a downtime because it's the off season. But people who are true baseball fans are looking for something to kind of be excited about. And the Jose Abreu signing, I guess that's the one that sticks out in my mind. But just even having him there come into the winter meetings and gets the fans excited in Houston again, and that fan base for somebody who is going to be a integral part of that lineup and that team coming into the 2023 season. So
well, let me take you. So you have the press conference, and a lot of people there, like I said, we at the beginning of the podcast, we are like, oh my goodness, this is a gift from above, where you have a press conference and you come in with your wife and some, and then you go through it. And I don't know if you had ever, other than the sort of the playoffs, like if there had been like you were on that much of a stage, like you are the guy, like you are the highlight of the day. You get up there. Was it overwhelming for you? And when you did get up there, like you said, you got emotional. I remember everyone like this, and you can't fake that. And I think that's another part of this, is that if we took that winter meetings, if we took that off season, I would say, well, there's a top five moment, because that what you did up on that stage showed all of these things that we talk about why baseball so good, like all of it.
Yeah. So
what do you remember feeling when you went up on this stage that day?
Well, I mean, I think that's the visceral part of the winter meetings and any kind of memorable moment or key moment in a player's career is kind of having that opportunity to be genuine towards everybody that's kind of helped you get to that point in your career or. You know, how meaningful it is to have that opportunity, because let's face it, over the course of the entire history of this game, I believe it's like 21,000 players have gotten the opportunity to play at the major league level. And that's just to get into a uniform for one day. So when you think about the course of, 3 years of team control and then 3 more years of team control with arbitration, and then finally getting the opportunity to get to free agency after 6 years. I never went through arbitration. I was always like, an afterthought or whatever. It was just kind of, a course of a career that was, like a buckshot all over the map. So you get that opportunity to be, get the up to thank all the people that got you to that point and be given that kind of stage and that opportunity by yourself is very special and unique, because you understand that not everybody gets to do that, but also with that that you've put in the work and you work hard to get to that opportunity. So it's something that you can't fake.
Did you think that you were going to get emotional? I mean, when you went up there, do you like, oh, there's a chance?
No, there's always something that, gets me. You've seen it this year. It's tough talking about my family or talking about, our son Bryce, or, it's not fake. It's tough, because it hits you and you're like, whoa, it's real and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you can try to, bite the inside of your cheeks or take a couple seconds, drink some more water or whatever, or try to fake it, but you can't.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was an awesome moment. And I think that, the press conferences are great, but when you see what it means to the people up there, and you articulate this in this conversation, like, it's not just, hey, I just signed this deal. It was, if Aaron Judge gets done at the winter meetings and he has a press conference, he has every right to feel all the things that you're talking about. Like, yeah sure, he's made a lot of money and he's a high profile player.
Right.
But to get, and another part of it too, much like when you went through the year before, you had to go through and earn the right to be there by performing in that year.
Yeah.
Right? The contract year. So
yeah. And right. And you were in the right by putting in the time and the effort and the work, but also you have to be invited. So that's one thing I think that you know, this isn't just a Halloween costume that you get to put on because you had, you know, enough money to go buy one in the pro shop. You have to be invited to come into that locker room at that level. And that's something that's pretty heavy when you think about it. And you know, you see it all the time. And my favorite moments are, you know, especially in a different sport. I know that, you know, baseball is the focus, but the Stanley Cup, you know, you see guys, they always run the best commercials during the Stanley Cup where, you know, guys, they just, you know, they have nothing to say. They don't know what to say. It's just like this complete euphoria that they've won and they don't know how to, you know, express it. And I think that's something that's really, really cool. And it's so genuine, but I think it's also something that during these winter meetings and these press conferences that players, you know, you see a guy like Aaron Judge get up there and everybody says it all the time. Like, oh, I promised I wouldn't do this. Or I knew this was going to happen. It's like, you can't fake it. It's something that hits you. It's, but hey, that's what's great about, you know, the individuals, because you see that it means so much to them. And you know, getting to that point in their careers is not given. You have to earn it.
The last thing is, Rich, like you touched on it really earlier on in this podcast about Abreu, signs a 3-year deal at 36. You signed a 3-year deal at 37. And now we're talking about Verlander, and now we're, you know, you're going to sign a deal. Do you think that people are getting their heads around more than ever that the age and you know, the passing RIP to Gaylord Perry, who just passed away. You know, you would look at, oh, you have to be a knuckleball pitcher to be viewed as an older player. You can't be a hitter. You can't be a regular pitcher or anything else. Do you think teams are getting their head around that, A, that just because of science, that this is that people's lives, professional lives are extended, and we should look at this a different way? And B, that guys have figured this out a lot better than 10, 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Well, I also think that you mentioned, you know, science and how to take care of your body. We look at a guy like Tom Brady and what he's been able to do into his 40s. You look at, you know, Albert Pujols last year and how he was able to perform. And now you're going to look at, you know, Verlander, Abreu going into next season. But it's also not so much the capacity of science, but the ability to pitch, right, or hit. So we're not talking about power. We're not talking about throwing. We're talking about pitching, talking about hitting, talking about baseball IQ. So that's something that is needed in every locker room, because as soon as you get into that point where you reach the postseason, this is where it is most valuable. And if you don't have guys in that locker room to kind of extend the olive branch of their experiences to pass on to younger players, you're going to miss that advantage it could have going into that postseason. And what I mean by that is just guys over time, you can't teach experience. You have to, you know, go through it and again, earn it. And that's something that, you know, is extremely valuable to teams that want to pay attention to that. Now you'll have front offices say, well, we don't need experience. We can just get these guys for cheap and we can have, you know, talent's going to win out and all that. What happens when talent doesn't work hard? What happens when talent doesn't have the experience? Because we're not talking about the ability on the field. Everybody has the ability, but what is a lot of guys are lacking is the mental side of the game. And when that kicks in, ability and talent goes out the window because you're a deer in the headlights and you freeze up. And that's something that these guys are going to bring into wherever they're, you know, Abreu is going to bring that into Houston. And everybody will say, well, he doesn't need to go in there and bring that experience or that knowledge because they just won the World Series. Well, he does because he understands what it takes to, you know, have a long career at 36 and continue to have that ability to perform at an age that a lot of guys should be retiring at, correct? I mean, that's something that, you know, I see is as long as guys continue to put in the effort, put in the time and work, you know, no matter if there is injury or, you know, you lose the ultimate ability to have the performance of throwing a ball as hard as you used to, or having the power that you used to, the mental side of the game only continues to get stronger. So that's something that, you know, players can put their efforts into as they get older. And that's what teams should be, you know, investing in their clubhouse. Now, I'm not saying you need a whole, obviously, roster full of older guys, but, you know, you need guys that are going to be able to come in and lead and understand what it is to lead from the experience of what they bring into that clubhouse.
Excellent stuff. You have inspired me for to go run out and buy pants at Costco, if nothing else. There you go. But Rich, thanks so much, and we'll loop back and see what's happening. Big things ahead for you, and always appreciate the insight, because once again, you are a player. I am not. You can offer perspective that I cannot. It's always appreciated.
Yeah, no, thank you again for having me on. It's going to be exciting this next week of winter meetings and to see where players get going. I know the fan bases throughout baseball are going to be excited to see who signs where, and hopefully, you know, it works out for their club and they get as excited as we are about what free agency is about to unfold this offseason.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.